Blog Talk Radio.
But she did come back from it. The doctor told her she was about an hour away from not recovering. But she did. So we're dedicating tonight's program to her.
Absolutely. That's absolutely wonderful news. I want to wish Miss Carol all the get wells in the world.
Appreciate that. It was prayers of all our friends and neighbors that you and your family that helped her get through it. And we want to say again, thank you. I just got off the phone with a very happy Mr. Edner Cherry. Edner wanted to, again, wanted to wish everybody a very happy holiday. He just came off a tremendous fight last week with Omar Douglas from your lovely city of Wilmington, Delaware. And he talked about it. And did you have to see any of it?
I actually tuned in and saw the whole fight on TV.
Oh,
and
nice.
It was a very, very good fight. Very good fight. I'm going to tell you one thing. Both guys show what they learned in camp. And I couldn't believe the jabs. Just to start out, I couldn't believe the jabs I was seeing from both guys. I mean,
right.
That just kind of, you know, took me back a little bit, because neither guy's known to really, you know, they can jab in moments, but not known to kind of operate a steady jab. And
right.
In the fight against each other, I mean, they just got their jabs going effectively. I was happy.
Yeah.
It was a very entertaining fight.
Yeah, I know. You know, we had to wait an extra week to get to that fight, but
yeah.
It certainly was well worth it, as far as I was concerned. The both guys, like you said, they both earned the respect of each camp. As a matter of fact, at the end of the fight, there, I think both guys thought that they won. Omar, I know.
I personally thought it was a draw.
Mm-hmm.
I personally thought it was a draw, but
mm-hmm.
I could see exactly why the judges went for Edner. Edner, he did more work. Edner,
yeah.
he and I thought if any which way, you know, the fight would go, Edner would outwork Omar, and I think that's just off of experience when there are certain moments in the fight where. Maybe a non-experienced fighter, you know, may not
mm-hmm.
get, you know, they may have to think their way a little bit to where
mm-hmm.
Edner, he's experienced and he knows through situations, if you keep working, then, you know what I mean, you'll get those points. You'll win that round, maybe. So,
right.
I mean, and that's what it sort of came down to. Edner, he did more work.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that. I thought that, and then Edner actually said that at the end of our conversation, that he said he worked me hard. He said, but then he would back off, and he, that was the difference. I just kept on going, and he would back off, and that's why he got that's how he got the win.
That's exactly how he got the win. As I say,
right.
Me personally, I thought it was a draw. Just because Omar, he when he did let his hands go, he was very effective. Edner has a heck of a chin. Edner has a heck of a chin because he got hit with a few of those bombs. Omar
yeah.
has a heck of a chin. Omar, because he got hit with a few of the cherry bombs. So I mean, these guys, and you know, it wasn't quite the fight that I thought it was going to be. It was a lot cleaner. It was
right.
a lot cleaner. These guys, I mean, and that's why I say, it's a tremendous difference that you can see that the camps have made with these two guys. So, and Edner,
right.
and I'm going to give all credit to Dan, because it's harder to do that with a guy who's been in the game for a while.
Right.
An older guy who's kind of developed who he is or who he wants to be. It's harder to do that. And in that fight, we saw that Edner, yeah, he can box. He can work, but he can box pretty good. I mean, he had a very good jab. So
mm-hmm.
I want to give credit to both fighters.
Yep, yep. I think, and again, we're still trying to our fans, and we're still trying to get Omar Douglas on. We continue to, or Ty continues to have conversations with his dad, and we're trying to straighten that out and – as soon as we get it, we'll get him on, and we'll hear his side of the story, and we'll hear about where he's going from here. You know, something that came out the other day, or 2 weeks ago, of course, we weren't on last week. I was going to ask that. The WBA announced they're going to do a fair boxing, anti-doping program. This is something that I guess has been tossed around and tossed around, but nobody seemed to want to do anything about it. Now, all of a sudden, they're coming up. Do you have any idea on that?
No, not really, but not specifically with that. But, I mean, as far as boxing goes, it's when you get a controlling body, meaning a title body, when you get a controlling title body announcing something like that, it tends to lean in their interest.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, is it going to be legit for everyone to be honest? I mean, or, mm-hmm. you know, just off the fact that, you know, you may have a titleist that may have certain advantages as far as the anti-doping policy goes when you're dealing with one of the governing bodies. Like the titling box, so I don't know the legitimacy that it can really hold. It's not an overall thing, then I don't really know, you know, how this could be, you know, exactly effective.
Mm-hmm. Good. I guess it all goes back to a couple things that had happened this year, where after a bout they did. Did testing and found out that people were having fun with things, not necessarily enhancing drugs, but drugs that were on that list that you're not supposed to use, and they happen to do it. But, so soon,
absolutely, it cost providing a call for a couple fights. Now, I mean that there is a specific thing with him. So, I mean, there are other athletes and other boxers that you know, also are involved. But, I mean, as I said before, if it's not going to be overall regulation with it, then, you know, I don't know how legitimate can it really be.
Right. On a Wednesday night show, we had a long talk about the different organizations, ruling organizations, that, and to show you what the team here, the Rowdies, the soccer team here in St. Petersburg, had a the owner has a major lawsuit now against the soccer affiliation that he bought his team from. He said he never would have bought it if he had known that there was so much corruption within that body. And it's going to be interesting because he's also trying to move the team into the World Soccer League, which is going to cost him like almost $200 million. But I guess he expects some of it.
Well, he might as well get ready to sue the World Soccer League too, because there's more corruption there.
We've got Sullivan Barrera going against Paul Parker. What's your thoughts on that one?
It's good to see Sullivan Barrera back. Sullivan, he's a very, very good fighter. I mean, he has that loss to Andre Ward. And in that fight, that's just Andre Ward. That's the guy who he is. That was always a bad style matchup, I thought, would be for Sullivan Barrera. Mm-hmm. With that said, if he's not going to run into many, if any, like Andre Ward. So, I mean, he's a top guy. He's a top guy. It's interesting just to see where he moves next, because I just think now it's a state. I think he's more or less kind of stay busy fight. I don't know too much about his opponent, but you know, just the way, you know, it's going now, and I figure that Cassie's going to have him do a stay busy fight, keep him relevant. Until,
sure.
you know, one of the big names pop up. Because he's going to get, you know, Sullivan is getting to the point to where he's going to get another big name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's earned it. He definitely, as you said, he has earned it. And I was just looking through the script here. were talking about that. As a matter of fact, Keith Thurman announced earlier this week that he would like to take on Manny Pacquiao.
I don't know how that's going to work promotionally, but
yeah,
I mean that's I mean he can run it, but I mean
yeah,
those who pay the checks may not. Man, that's what makes the difference.
Sure,
and I would love to see that, especially at this point now before Pacquiao slows down anymore. I would like to see him take on Keith Thurman. I think it'll be a very, very interesting fight. With that said, that's to me, that's far from happening. That's far from happening. It's just too much. Al Haymon and Bob Arum, that's just too much division with that right now.
Yeah, the Dan had been up in Bethlehem with Edner. Last week, and I hadn't had a chance to see him at the gym, but I'm going to stop in and see him next week, and we'll try and get him back on the air and talk about that situation and who Edner's going to see next week, next time, and if Keith is really serious about that, or if he's, you know, if he's going to go after somebody else. I mean, he's at the top of his game, and this will be the perfect time. Hopefully it won't be another 3 or 4 years like the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight.
Now while Pacquiao has it.
Right. Speaking of which, we have a special guest coming back on tonight with an announcement, and I'm going to call him right now. I'm going to call him on the air here since we don't have a third guy here to talk. And coming on.
Hello, this is Frankie.
Yes, this is the conductor at the railroad station. We're looking for the freight train.
Wow.
Yeah, oh yeah, you got them, and you're on the right side of this train too.
That's right. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Now, first of all, I want to wish you and your family a very happy holidays from Z and I and all the guys here on the radio.
I appreciate that.
Appreciate the time that you give us, and we certainly appreciate your family giving us the time. We talked this afternoon, and you had two giant announcements for me. Let's let our friends across the United States hear about this.
All right. So, you know, when I live by a code that when one door closes, there's always normally one door that's opening up. Right, or at least a window you need to go through. So, you know, when the Jesse Hart negotiations fell through, you know, I started to prepare for the next fight, which was Peter Manfredo in June. Oh. And as we are starting to get closer to that, and start to make those negotiations happen. You know, a fight comes up that it's very interesting, and you know, I don't think I could pass it up. I've been out of the ring for a little bit because the negotiations with the IBF took me out for 3 months. But we decided to fight Derek Webster May 13th. You know, we're talking. Tall southpaw, you know, so the clash of the southpaws right now in Bristol, Pennsylvania. So just, I guess, 25 minutes outside of Philly. So we're putting it's going to be for the vacant WBF world title. He's putting up his USBO title, and I'm putting up one of my belts. So it'll be winner-take-all kind of mentality. So we're prepared. We're ready to go.
Good, Frankie. This is Zito. First of all, I want to say congratulations.
That's not that far away. Let me go in the other room, Frank.
Okay.
Okay, Frank. It's just Chris talking to me.
Oh, gotcha.
All right.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, it's
What weight are you fighting at?
We're fighting at 168.
168, okay. Keeping it there.
Yep. Right. We're keeping it there. That's where he has the title at. So,
okay.
We're going to just make it happen. I'm going to use this as my gauge to Jesse Hart. They're both similar in height. Obviously, they're way different in fight styles. But I think this is a good fight. When Derek Webster won the USBO, I immediately wanted that fight because that's the belt I've been tracking. and he picked it up first. So negotiation happened fast. So originally they called me and a couple weeks ago, and I didn't take it very seriously. I said, y'all call me back when y'all are serious. And then finally they came back with some right numbers and some right opportunities. So first time fighting in Pennsylvania. So this will be interesting coming back. My family that lives in South Philly is excited. They haven't been able to see me since I started this game. I'm excited. I've been preparing since January. I'm in phenomenal shape. So we're just moving forward. So win-win for me, regardless of the outcome. But we plan on going in there and making some life-changing opportunities for me.
There you go.
Once
you finish this, Frank, your June fight is going to be where?
We're looking at the June fight to be here in Virginia Beach. Against Manfredo, but I think what we'll end up doing is we might end up pushing that back till July because of this fight here. So, so to give me a little bit of time, because obviously this is going to be a 12-round title fight, so we'll see, what they want to do as far as that goes.
And where will this one be?
This one's going to be in Bristol, Pennsylvania, at the Bristol Ice Skating Center somewhere, I think, over up there, if I remember correctly.
I just got the
particulars
just
on it.
Off of the Pennsylvania Turnpike.
Right. I can try to get the address based on the contract, Yeah, it's very, very brand new. You guys are getting this fresh off the plate here, so.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. Hopefully, I'll have more fans. I'll have a couple fans there, so it doesn't look like when they announce my name, it's one or two guys clapping.
Frankie, have you had time to look over any footage or anything about the opponent?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like I said, once he won the title in January, that really kind of set the tone. I've been watching footage on him of what I can find, trying to pick out some weaknesses that I see. But you know what? To be honest with you, there is no real game plan except for one thing. I'm going to make it a really ugly fight for him. I'm coming to fight. I'm going to be in his chest because I'll probably be at his sternum. But I'm going to be there every step of the way. There'll be a different side of me that will probably not box and counter punch like I normally do. There'll be a side of me that says, hey, you know what? This is an opportunity. We're not coming up there 6 hours to come home with nothing. So,
if I'm correct, you fought Hearns Jr., right?
I fought Aaron Pryor Jr.
Aaron Pryor Jr., the tall kid. Do you think that'll give you some experience against fighting this guy?
I think it will. I think they both have some similar style. I think Derek Webster's better than Aaron Pryor.
for sure. I think just like any tall guy, their game plan is they're going to stay on the outside, move around, and then when I get close, they're going to hold me. So I'm going to be real cautious about getting too close where they're going to just wrap me up. The interesting thing about this southpaw, is that everybody's like, well, this is going to be odd for you, fighting another southpaw. And, I get there's two guys at our gym on a regular basis that I spar with that are left-handed. So it doesn't – and I'll be honest with you, in my counterpunching ability – I mean, now, granted, they're the same height as I am. My counterpunching ability is far better and from a left-handed standpoint because – when they throw their jab, I'm countering with overhand left right over top of their punch. Now,
yeah.
Like I said, granted with Webster, I'm not going to be able to go over too many punches because he's going to be he's going to be coming at a downward angle, and I'm going to be coming at an upward angle. But I think I'm going to count. I think I'm going to counter his jab with my jab, but it's not. I'm not going to go for his head. At least initially. So
yeah.
there's gonna be a lot of body work. I gotta get the tree down a little bit to my level. What most people don't understand too is that when you got two lefties in there, that the liver is a lot closer when you got two lefties versus two righties. So I'm sure both of us will be trying to go for that punch as we come in. So.
Yeah. I know a good shot on the tall guy is a counter when they tall guy's jab is a counter jab to the body.
Yep, and that's you hit it right on the head. That's one of those punches that I use. In this game the height really doesn't bother me but so much. What bothers me is that I a lot of guys and even in Jesse Hart's case, they would jump in trying to land a punch to the head.
Yeah.
And then they get so close that these guys wrap them up, and I'm not ready for that. So look, being 5'8", 5'9" on a good day, most of the guys I face are 6 foot or higher, so
yeah.
height doesn't really bother me, but it is going to be a factor as long as I don't get frustrated and come completely out of the game plan.
Yeah.
I think it should be a heck of a fight. I know he's training. I'm training. And there are going to be some fireworks. So it's going to be interesting.
Frankie, how tall is this guy? He keeps mentioning how tall is he?
He is, I want to say 6'3", maybe on the 6'4 range.
Yeah.
So he's tall. Yeah, he's tall and skinny. So,
what's his weight going to be? Are you going to come in at 168 ceiling?
Yeah,
what are you signed
for? That's what we 168 is the contract for. No plus or minus. I mean, obviously
mm-hmm.
we can come a little. I'm probably going to come in at 167, 166.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in really good
mm-hmm.
shape. So, but it's going to be fun. I think where we're. Most of the time, I think Philly or Pennsylvania, I think they make you weigh in the day of. I think we contracted it to weigh in the day before. So there should be no problems making any kind of weight. So.
Day before, okay.
If a guy's that tall at 168, he can't be very, what I would call a strong fighter. He's going to be a rangy fighter then.
Outboxing,
stay outside of it.
Right,
and these guys do frustrate you when they're that tall, absolutely.
And I think for a less experienced fighter, they get frustrated a little bit more than I know that the end game is to just keep pressure on it, and you know the sad part is that everybody that I know that I've talked to as far as close to me that. They're like, dude, you're not going to get a fair shot in Philly. And you know what? And I got to tell them, look, you know what? I have all the confidence in the world in the Pennsylvania Athletic Commission. There are judges out there that make calls all day long around the world. All I got to do is worry about my fight. As long as I go in there, I mean, I can tell you this. Win, lose, or draw, Derek Webster's going to know he's in a fight. He going to know that he was on the tracks when the train's coming through.
So. Well, Bristol's outside of town. It's up near King of Prussia, which is a huge shopping center area. So you're not really going to be – it's not going to be the Philly crowd that's going to be you know, the main crowd rooting for people. You're going to have as many guys on your side as he is, because you're going to be two strangers to that area. So I don't think, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
who's the promoter, Frankie? Who's the promoter?
It is. I should know it, right? It's a group called Deuce Promotions, I think. Deuce Promotions out of Philly. Now look, Derek Webster. He's fought New Jersey. He's from New Jersey originally. He's fought in Philadelphia and New Jersey pretty much his whole career. So, you know, he'll have somewhat of the when I say hometown advantage, he'll have some of that as far as fan base, you know, But I'm bringing guys up from Delaware, you know. I'm bringing people up from Philadelphia. I'm bringing people as far over as Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. I got some people in New Jersey. You know, the one thing we talked about is, you know, getting the complete support of all the law enforcement in every area surrounding there. So I think that's going to be a good idea. I think, you know, and like I said, it's a win-win, you know, and me and Jesse Hart have been going back and forth on Instagram for the last couple of hours, you know, because he's upset that I'm taking this fight and not fighting him. And we can go round and round of, you know, he defended his NABA or his USBA title against Alan Campos, who was not the mandatory challenger, and I have the contract to talk about it. So I think we can all sit here and say who was scared and who wasn't scared and all that other nonsense. But once I beat Derek Webster, then we'll look at taking Jesse Hart back out. So
it'd be great. Close fights. Half hour for me.
Jesse hadn't been around so much, you'd be fighting him instead of somebody else. But,
yeah. Right. Go ahead.
Frank. Go ahead.
I think you're right. You know, the unfortunate part about this game is just like, and you guys all know it. You've been involved in this game a long time. Is that politics tend to play a huge part in it. And you know, sometimes we say the only honest people in boxing are the fighters themselves. You know, but I can tell you, it's very difficult and very humbling to sit here and say that you put all your heart and soul into trying to make something happen. Now, granted, I'm extremely excited and I'm pleased with my performance up until now, and I've gone as far as I can go so far, farther than anybody's ever given me credit for. But I can tell you, when the guys come and talk to you about a fight, and then they treat you like garbage, and they got the money to back it up, and you don't. You know, it's difficult, you know, because by all rights, the IBF should have stripped him of his title and instead of letting him fight another guy for the mandatory challenger and then coming back to me and saying, hey, well, let's fight him in June. And you know, it's rough, you know, and like I said, hey, whether I feel one way or the other about that, I mean, I respect their decision, but I just think the Top Rank's pulling the strings a little bit more because they got more money. So, you know, and that's fine. That's fine. Like I said, that's why we're taking another fight. And then if we should happen to lose this fight, it doesn't bother me one bit. We go back to the drawing board. We prepare for our next fight in June or July. So, we're going to keep pushing. The main goal for me, obviously, in this boxing game is to build others up, inspire others to do what others say they can't. And that's where my strength comes from. So
it's gonna be interesting. 6'3" and 5'9". I love that
Indeed.
Combination. Bend his ribs. You get inside and bang him ribs. The body.
Oh, yeah.
I was a body puncher. I That liver, nobody, I don't care if you're Tex Cobb. You can hit the liver, you're going down.
Oh,
that
exactly.
Liver's going to stop you. And you, I mean, body punching is a tremendous part of the game and a tremendous way for a shorter fighter to win.
Oh,
yeah. I know Tex Cobb told me of all the punches he took in his life, the only time he was ever hurt, his was it Leroy Page? Hit him with a little left hook in the body, hit him in the liver. Mm. He said he did a dance around the gym, jumped up and down. He didn't know what the hell hit him. And his trainer, Georgie Benton, gave Page hell. He was a heavyweight for a while. Page, remember he won some. He might even won a
right.
ball. He said
great
Georgie team. Gave him hell because he hit Tex low, and he said I didn't hit him low. I just caught him right in the liver. You know.
Right.
Well, Benton was such a great boxer. Nobody ever hit him there. Benton
right.
always stayed on the outside. So he didn't understand
sure.
it either. I said,
right.
Tex, it's a great neutralizer, the liver.
Mm-hmm.
So as you saw when Golovkin goes for the liver, and
sure.
he didn't do it at all last fight. What the hell was he doing? I didn't. I mean,
right.
I guess that weight advantage probably nullified his inside fighting on that. Well, that sounds great, you know, to hear that. I'm looking forward to coming up there.
Yeah,
not
so
that far
yeah,
away,
well,
half hour.
Yeah, I'm like I said, I'm prepared. You know, we're pulling out all the stops. I mean, we're literally bringing some sparring partners in that are you know of that height, and
mm-hmm.
we're going to work on it. We're going to work on it. So
yeah,
you know
yeah.
it's. And I'm making a trip up to Connecticut to spar with a couple guys up there. So you know, we're making sure that there's no excuses and everything. And then when you see in the ring, I'm gonna leave nothing to chance. And I'm gonna just, you know, when if I can still hold my hands up after I'm done, then I didn't leave it all in there. So, you know, but I like I said, I plan on making it a very ugly fight for him. I'm sure. He is thinking he's the A side, which, you know, I'll give him the A side so they'll have a big enough ring. God help him if it's a small ring because it's that's going to be very bad for him.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Frank, give us a date again.
It's May 13th. It's technically Mother's Day weekend. So Mother's Day is Sunday.
Okay. Good. And it's going to be Bristol?
Yes, sir. It's going to be in Bristol at it says Grundy Arena, Grundy Arena.
Okay. Great.
That's a Norristown area, Frank. That's
yeah.
a Norristown area.
Oh, yeah.
Bristol, right outside Norristown. There's a lot of development up there, commercial. There's hotels all over. There's even a casino up that way.
Yeah.
It's really coming into its own. It's Philadelphia being developed right. That's what that area is. You know,
yeah, that's the first question I asked you when we talked today, Chris. Was it at the Philadelphia Park? That's that new casino that they have just off of Roosevelt Boulevard in Bristol.
Yeah, that would have been nice. I would have loved that as well. So
yeah.
But yeah, we're, you know, we're also, I also talked to, and this is something big too, but it hasn't come up yet, but I talked to a promoter that's doing a charity event up in Ohio for fallen law enforcement officers and fallen firefighters to do a pro show, and some of the benefits or a portion of the proceeds are going to go to the families of these fallen heroes. So I'm looking forward to that. That could happen, sooner than later. So as soon as that comes up, I'll make sure I let you guys know that as well.
Great. Yeah. Tommy Zbikowski, who was probably one of the best safeties for Notre Dame, went into boxing and then he unfortunately had a trip down Booze Lane and lost everything, but he's recovered now. He's a fireman in the city of Chicago, but he's also back in the ring. And he just called that they're going to have the firefighters are having a
a charity event for fallen heroes out there, and he's going to be the headliner. So we'll
get
a lot of information.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. What happened to that kid, Frank? That kid, that safety from Notre Dame that had some fights. He went down the wrong road.
Yeah. Yeah.
I never heard. I wonder what happened to that kid. He never went into the pros. He never did anything with his.
Well,
yeah,
he went for a little bit, Chris, and he was a kid who never had a whole lot of money, and he could have made a hell of a lot of money if he stayed in football. But he really enjoyed boxing. Went into boxing, and unfortunately, took a booze cruise and didn't come back. And but now he is back, and he's straight, and he's evidently had a couple fights out there that he's done very well at. So we're looking forward to big things out of Tommy.
Yeah.
That's I'd like to see him recover. I remember him very well. He was fighting while he was playing.
Yeah.
He had a couple of bouts. Yeah. Wow.
Well, you know, they have that program, and we're going to have their coach on in a couple weeks. In 3 weeks, they have it's called the Bengal Fighters. And what it is any kid on campus wants to fight, they get in the ring. They have to raise money for the missions over in Bangladesh and in India. But that's how they've been doing this now for 45 years.
Wow.
That's
okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah. So, well, Frank, we want to thank you, and we want to wish you the very, very best. I'll talk to you between now and the 13th, and we'll maybe get you on the week before, the 7th, and try and get people to come up there to see you. But, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to see a fighter that comes out and never, ever gives up, this is the guy. If you live in the Philadelphia area or the tri-state area, because it's very close to Trenton, it's very close to the Jersey, state Jersey, around Fort Dix or any of those areas, you want to get your tickets early, because it'll be the a battle of definitely will be a battle you want to see. So, Frank, again,
yes, indeed.
I want to thank you for your time, and please give your wife and kids a good hug for all of us here. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. Thank you, guys. Yep. So, be looking for me. If you can make it, just a couple of claps for me would be great and appreciate it. So, you know, that way I don't just hear a whole bunch of boos. So just after all the boos are done, just if you have enough courage, just go ahead and just clap one or two times, then I know it's you. So, you know, we're good to go. But that's all right. I don't mind being the underdog.
Hey, Frank, I got to tell you, there have been many Italian champions that never made 5'8". You know, I'm going to tell you, Graziano, Basilio, LaMotta, you keep going, and I can name you 100 other light heavyweights and great light heavyweights and great middle that never were that tall. So it's not it can be done, and I'd like to see you do it. I'd like to see you, you know, go that route. I was 5'7¾", and I studied all the fighters down through the years. You know, the great Sam Lank, they called him the Boston Tar Baby. Sam Lankford, was it Lankford?
Yeah.
Lankford.
Yeah.
Lankford was 5'6½", was knocking heavyweights dead. You go down, you know, down through the years, I mean, there's just been, you know, it's all a matter of will, you know.
Right.
You know you're going to get hit. You got to be willing to take that punch and, you know, hope yours is harder than the other guy. That's all.
That's all. Well, that's one.
But
that's one thing.
I wish you luck, man.
Yeah. Yes, sir. I'm prepared. I'm prepared to be carried out on a stretcher in this game. So I'm ready. So
it's an advantage sometimes to be shorter. You're stronger. Your feet are more balanced. You can deliver every punch at full impact much easier than a tall, rangy guy. So
you got
an advantage there.
Yes, sir.
You know?
Yes, sir. I'm going to take
it.
I'm going to take
it. Okay, Frank.
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys. I appreciate
it. Take care, Frank.
All right.
Guys, we're joined now by a good friend of ours. And the last time he was on I turn on Fight News, and here he is as live doing a thing, promotion for a gym in Fort Myers, Mr. Bob Alexander.
Hey, gentlemen, you know, how are you?
How's
We're
it
doing
going?
Great. Not as great as you, from what I understand. Wow.
Well, it's been a busy year, that's for sure, and it's about to get a whole lot busier, so I like that, though. It keeps me off the streets, you know.
Sure. Bob, you were talking about I know you want to talk about your Hall of Fame dinner coming up and inductions, and then if you would bring us up to date on your future travel plans.
Well, I'm going to be getting on a plane Thursday. I'm heading all the way down to Georgetown, Guyana, of all places. They've got a mixed martial arts / boxing event down there, and a gentleman that I've worked with for the last year from Trinidad is one of the promoters, and he and the other gentleman from Guyana were both at the last show I did, and they approached me and said, we're doing our first ever show in Guyana, and we would love for you to come on down. So I'm on my way.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's warm down there. You'll like it. What time of the year are you going there?
What's that?
When are you going there? What's the date?
This coming Thursday I leave.
Oh, hell, you'll be in beautiful sunshine.
Oh,
is it British Guyana, or isn't there two of them, or French Guyana? Are they next to one another?
I think there's French Guyana, but I'll be in the regular Guyana.
Okay.
But I'm excited about it. It should be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. It's a whole new place. God, it's South America. Damn.
Yeah, my first trip there.
Great.
That'd be great.
Bob, you've got an induction coming up very shortly, and I know you usually serve as their MC. How about bringing us up to date on that one?
I'd be glad to. It's the ninth year for the Florida Boxing Hall of Fame. It's going to be June 23rd, 24th, and 25th. That's going to be at the West Shore Grand, right off of the interstate in Tampa. It's a full 3-day weekend of events. It kicks off Friday night with a cocktail hour where you get to meet all the inductees. Then we have a live amateur boxing show, which I'll be serving, of course, as ring announcer for. Then on Saturday we have lectures. We have all the inductees are going to be getting their fist cast. You can get your fist cast if you so choose. They have sparring sessions going on with different fighters. They have a memorabilia show, and then Saturday night is our gala dinner, where it's everybody to get dressed up and be formal, and we have keynote speakers and different awards that are given out, that sort of thing. Just a lot of fun. And then Sunday morning at around 9 o'clock, we have breakfast with the inductees, and at 11 o'clock, the induction ceremony kicks off. And that induction ceremony is always free and open to everyone. And we always have a gigantic table-sized cake where we serve after the ceremony. And we're really excited because we think every year we think we have a good class. But really excited about some of the folks that are going in this year. And incidentally, just to give you an idea already who we've put in, people like the great Muhammad Ali, Roberto Duran, John the Beast Mugabe, the late Aaron Pryor, the late Hector Camacho, the list just goes on and on. So it really is a great opportunity for the boxing fans of Florida to come together, meet a lot of celebrities, because we always have a lot of past inductees that come. And it's just a great weekend if you love boxing, because people get together, they tell stories, it's just a great, great way to enjoy the sport. Where everybody's just having a good time and relaxed. And as I mentioned, this year's class, when we look at the fighters going in this year, we have former heavyweight champion, the late Trevor Burbick, former heavyweight contender, the late Alex Stewart, and then our living inductees,
include Dave Jaco from Sarasota, former heavyweight contender, fought everybody under the sun back in the 80s and 90s. We have Dave Luter, who was a kickboxing and boxing professional from the other coast. We have Melissa Del Valle, who is a former world women's champion, first ever sister-brother world champion combination with her brother, Lou Del Valle. We have Oscar Montilla from Fort Myers. He was a gold medalist in the Olympic Games, military Olympic Games back in the 90s. And our two big stars, former heavyweight and light heavyweight world champion Michael Moore, and also former two-time middleweight and junior middleweight champion Winky Wright from St. Pete.
The class.
Great. Yeah, it's a great class. Plus, we have others that are going in. We've got a couple great trainers. Ken Adams, who was a great Olympic trainer for many years. John David Jackson, former world champion, now a great trainer. He's going in. Our media class includes Charles Jay, who's been a boxing broadcaster and handicapper for years. Alex and John Rinaldi are the creators of the Boxing News. It's been around, a newspaper that's been around for about 30 years. We have a late promoter, Dick Lee, from the 1950s and 60s, who dominated promoting down in the South Florida area for a long time. Steve Shepard is a longtime coach over on the East Coast. I ran a gym for about 25 years. And our officials, we have great referee Jorge Alonso, great judge Al Walensky, and former timekeeper Bill Anello. That's for the entire class. So it's a great class. And we're just really excited about these people coming together and just looking forward to inviting everybody to come join us for a great weekend of boxing fun.
Yeah, you talked about Dave Jaco, and Dave's a personal friend of mine, but his son, both his sons were fighters, and
yep,
they were the original Fighting Words commentators with Bobby, my son Bob. They started this program. We're now in our 18th year, and they were able to stay with it for. Aaron stayed with it for about 5 years, and then he got busy, and then I was able to get in with Bobby on that one. But Dave's a funny person. I could tell you some stories offline, because I wouldn't want them to get out. But there are some really funny stories. But he's a tremendous guy. He's a great family man.
Yeah.
Once he finally settled down, he's got the two boys, the twins, and then he's got four girls with his new wife. And Dave's a good guy. Real good
yeah,
guy.
Dave's been at our Hall of Fame a couple of years as a guest, and he was there when his good friend Mike Ross, one of the better judges in the state of Florida, was inducted a couple of years ago, and he was there for that. And we're really happy that we're able to get him in this year, and he's very deserving, as I mentioned. That there isn't a heavyweight worth his salt back in the late 80s, early 90s that Dave Jaco didn't fight. And, of course, always remember, he's the first man to ever beat Razor Ruddock.
That's right.
You know, really, really quality fighter. So, you know, Dave's a lot of fun. He's great to be around, and I know he's going to bring a good contingent from the Sarasota area up to be with us that weekend. So, again, it's just a lot of fun to meet people and network and share stories, and just it's just complete, total boxing for, 3 days, basically.
If he beat Razor Ruddock, he'd be a hell of a fighter.
Razor Ruddock
was one hell of a fighter.
Yeah, and it was Razor Ruddock's first loss, as a matter of fact, before he fought Tyson and Lennox Lewis. So, you know, that
was a hell of a
fighter. He was. He was a very good fighter.
Oh, yeah.
And
had to be
you know,
a hell of a fighter. That guy was tremendous talent.
Yeah, Dave caught him at the right time and was able to stop him, and you know, that was probably Dave's biggest win of his career.
I guess so.
Right after that fight,
good name,
Dave, and some of his friends, who we would call posse now, but hangers on, all ended up in a couple bars, and Dave had a nice purse when he walked out of the arena. By the time he got home, I think he had enough money for cab fare. But he had a great time.
Happens all the time.
Yeah,
you
guys know how to celebrate.
Seen it happen in Atlantic City. Guy blows the whole purse. The whole damn purse in a half an hour at the roulette table. It is unbelievable how these guys go nuts when they get that check in their hand and it's cash or whatever it is. Walk over to the roulette table and watch it disappear. Oh, Christ. I can't believe it. But I've seen it done too. They get nuts in there. If you fight that hard, they'll put some of it away. You know, Jesus God. But they leave broke, and they figure, well, they'll fight again. That's all.
Local lined up.
I've got a fight at the Sun Dome on Saturday night, 29th. Which will be up there in Tampa. And then let's see. I know down the line I'm doing the fight in Hollywood in early June, where Frezza Kendo and Shannon Briggs are going to fight for the WBA heavyweight title. For what that's worth, I'm not bragging like it's Tyson versus Holyfield, you know. But it'll be interesting.
That's the basis fight.
It's always an event when Shannon fights. I'll tell you that.
yeah. When Shannon speaks.
So I've got some busy days coming. Oh, and Jeff Lacey is also going to be coming back on May the 12th. I'll be doing that show up in Tampa as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw him at St. Pete Gym. Of course, our good friend Dan Birmingham is his trainer.
Right.
And he was in a couple times the last couple weeks getting ready.
Yeah, Dan and I were inducted in the same year in the Hall of Fame in 2010.
Terrific person.
Very good
trainer, but a terrific person as a gentleman. Always been a gentleman.
Yeah. One of our great representatives out there. So.
Yep, that's for sure. Okay.
Poor Lacey. His worst day was the day he got in a ring with Calzaghe. That ruined his career.
Yeah.
That was a total. I still remember that fight. And
then he
didn't really get hurt. I mean, he didn't get hurt. He didn't, you know, he wasn't mangled, but he just lost so clearly and so decisively. You know, he never had the mental. He never came back mentally from that fight.
Right.
You know.
Right.
I watched his whole career. He was a stocky fighter about Frank Philippone's size, and he has never made it back. Calzaghe was a phenomenally fast fighter, and could make you look bad.
Yes,
and,
he could.
He made Lacey look awful that night. Oh my God, I still remember it.
Remember? Yeah, me too.
And you know, so.
Jeff Lacey's coming back. I wonder what weight he'll be coming back at.
He's
only
5'9". He's fighting super middleweight, from what I understand.
Yeah, he's only 5'9", so between 5'8 and 5'9", so he can't come back too heavy. It wouldn't be in his best interest to come in at the light heavyweight division.
No, he tried fighting light heavyweight a couple of years ago and got I did that fight down in Miami. He got stopped in the second round.
He don't belong in there with tall light heavyweights. He's too he's strictly counted on his left hook, you know. And I was sorry to see that. You know, I was hoping he'd come back after a good box. All he had was a good boxing lesson. It turned his mind around. That's a damn shame.
Yeah, mental.
Well, Bob, we want to wish you and Pam and the family a very, very happy holiday.
And you personally, safe travel, because that's a long way to go. And I'm glad it's you on that plane and not me, because I can't stand more than an hour and a half to 2 hours in flight. But
it's not too bad. I'm going to fly to Trinidad for 3 hours and then just an hour flight from Trinidad over to Guyana. So it's not going to be too bad.
Okay.
Good.
But I'm excited about it.
We'd like to get you on again the end of, last part of May, maybe the first part of June,
sure.
to again, once again, talk about the Hall of Fame, and because you know, there are a lot of people in Florida that would like to go to that thing, and let's give you as much publicity as we possibly can.
Really appreciate it, guys, and I hope you, all of you, have a happy Easter, and I look forward to talking to you then.
All right. Take care of yourself.
Take care.
Thanks, guys.
Guys, we're up against our time limit here. I want to wish both you guys and your families and Ty, Aziz, if you'll tell Ty and your dad and everybody, we wish them a very happy holiday. And we really appreciate all that you guys, both you guys, do for to help us keep this thing going. It's we're now, like I said, we're now in our 18th year, and it's When we first started out, it was called the girl wanted to call it Boxing Buddies. And I'd never seen Bobby or the Jaco brothers laugh so hard as when she told them what she wanted to name the program. But Z, you want to lead us out?
Sure, do. Another wonderful show. Another wonderful show. I want to thank Bob Alexander. Wish him good luck to and from his trip to Guyana. I want to say thank you to Frankie Philippone. Want to wish him luck in his upcoming fight. I always want to thank Dr. Chris. I want to thank you, Butch, and all my Fighting Words family. And these shows are definitely in memory of Bob. And if anyone wants to hear any Fighting Words, please do call. Miss Carol, please do get better. Butch.
Thank you. Okay.
All right. All right, guys. I'll see you next week. Tomorrow's going to be 80 degrees up here tomorrow. Enjoy your day. Who's ever living in the north? I'm going to be out hitting golf balls tomorrow. So beautiful.
Excellent.
All right, guys. Talk to you next week. See you. Right,
take it easy, Dr. Chris.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, the men and women of Police and Fire Services. When you're out there and you see somebody in a uniform, please just let them know they're there. A handshake, a smile, anything really makes a day for guys in uniform. The best thing you can ever say is be safe, my brother or my sister. These programs are brought to you in grateful appreciation to the men and women of Police and Fire Services also, and especially those who've lost their – we dedicate these programs to those who've lost their lives in the line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Colcap, Sergeant Thomas Bainger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Detective Rainey Bell, Detective Ricky Chillers, Patrol Deputy David Crawford, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Anafa Crispin, Lakeland PD, Deputy Barbara Pell, Broward County Sheriff's Office, Chief Al Hogle, Longboat Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township PA Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, MIT Officer Sean Collier, Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Office, Deputy Jonathan Scott Bine, Orange County Sheriff's Office, Patrolman Robert Germain, Windermere, Florida Police Department, Trooper Chelsea Richards, Florida Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Joyce Craig Lewis, Philadelphia Fire Department, Patrolman Charlie Condit, Tarpon Springs Police Department, Sergeant Robert Wilson, Philadelphia Police Department, Louisiana Trooper Steve Vincent, Harris County Deputy Sheriff Darrell Goforth, Prince William County Deputy Sheriff Ashley Gidden, Eustis, Texas Patrol Officer David Heffer, Hillsborough County Special Deputy David Heffer, Deputy Charlie Kotloff, Hillsborough County Police Department, Sheriff's Department, Captain Chris Leach, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Jerry Ficus, Wilmington Fire Department, Sergeant Paul Salto, New York Police Department, FDLE Special Inspector Vinny Galaccia, and Lieutenant Ardith Hope, Wilmington Fire Department. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, at some time we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. At that time, until that time, may the rose rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your fields and the sun shine lightly on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hollow of his hands. Good night, God bless, and happy holiday.
Good night, Bob. We love you.